The Allegro Aperto from the Violin Concerto No. 5 in A Major. Hilary Hahn, our soloist, with the Deutsche Chamber Philharmonic from her great Deutsche Grammophon recording that also features Henri Vieton's Violin Concerto No. 4. It is 3 degrees downtown. We're going up to a high of 6 today. Temperature's going to fall to 2 with a 40% chance of showers later on and flurries overnight. You're listening to Classical Mornings with Mike and Jean here at the new Classical FM.
The Canadian Opera Company is currently presenting Verdi's Rigoletto at the Four Seasons Center for the Performing Arts until February 23rd. Most of the performances are at 7:30, but you should go to the website, coc.ca, to check other times, like on Saturdays and Sundays. With us to talk about it is baritone Roland Wood, who's performing the title role. Good morning.
Morning.
Now, I'm just going to give it right to you between the eyeballs.
Uh-oh.
Who's Rigoletto?
Right. Rigoletto, I think Rigoletto is a working man who is trying to provide for his family. And he's a man who actually, in a lot of ways, is a very admirable character in that he's born with an affliction, with a disability, and rises through the ranks of a society that views him with suspicion and mistrust as a result of his disability, and yet has risen to the as high as he can go to become the Duke's pal and confidant and jester, mouthpiece, and works hard, and then at the end of the day goes home, looks after his daughter, and unfortunately for him, gets into situations beyond his control and then makes them worse through his temper, basically.
How do you think the his disability affects his personality?
I think he becomes quite bitter and rails against the world in that, you know, he blames everyone else for making him nasty.
The universe is out to get him, in other words.
Yeah, but also he says the universe, you know, he actually turns around to people and says, you know, nature and society, you've made me what I am. You know, if I'm not very nice, it's because you've made me that way. You force me to be this because all you let me be is the buffoon, is the jester. And I have to jump when the master says, you know, make me laugh, I have to do it. And he gets to be, you know, he's young and he's handsome and he's rich and powerful and he does whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And I have to do whatever he tells me to do. And that involves being unpleasant to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if I turn out to be, you know, vicious and cruel, it's because you're making me vicious and cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was born, he says, you know, essere deforme, essere buffone. So, you know, to be deformed and to be a buffoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he can do. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed to do anything other than laugh and make fun of people. Mm-hmm. And so he does. And actually, I think he quite enjoys being able to say unpleasant things and to take revenge in a certain way on the people who make him feel
well. He gets to act out what
he does. He
gets to only think to do.
Absolutely. And he gets to act out what other people, you know, he's the Duke's mouthpiece. And I have likened him in the past to he's like one of the sort of right wing shock jocks that you get in the US who doesn't necessarily believe what he's saying, but he knows he gets good ratings. And he becomes a mouthpiece for other people who aren't allowed to say those things.
Mm.
So he says what everyone else wants to say, or in certain circumstances, what everyone else is thinking. But he doesn't necessarily believe it. But he knows that he has the opportunity and the right, because of his position in the court, to say it. But he's also aware that his position in the court is entirely at the favor of the Duke. So while he's saying these things, while the Duke is laughing, he's fine. When the Duke stops laughing, then he has problems.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to keep being more and more outrageous and more vicious and more unpleasant to entertain the Duke, who is quite basically a revolting individual. And that's why everyone hates Rigoletto, because he says the things that no one else will say. Mm-hmm. But I don't think when you see the scenes with Gilda, he doesn't really, that's not him.
No.
But that's who he is. That's his public face and that's his work face. And when he's at home, he's somebody completely different.
But then things take a pretty sharp turn when it involves his daughter with the Duke.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he's this overprotective father whose wife has died. We don't know when she died. It just says, you know, she died and has left him with a daughter. which he doesn't. It's a situation he's not comfortable in. He doesn't know how to live, so he sends his daughter to a convent, and then she's, you know, 16, 17 years old. She comes to live with him, and he hides her away, locks her away, and says, "That's it. You know, you're never going out. You can go to church, and that's it."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the second she goes to church, she sees a young man, and she does what a teenage girl, most teenage girls do. She becomes obsessed with this young man, is convinced she's in love, and of course, it turns out to be the Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly the person that Rigoletto is trying his hardest to save her from, but actually by being overprotective makes her more likely to disobey him and
to rebel.
Which is what happens.
Yeah.
But she's so innocent, she doesn't realize she's rebelling because she's experiencing emotions that she doesn't understand.
Right.
And so, you know, theoretically, if Rigoletto is slightly more flexible and allows a little bit more, you know, she says, "I've been here for 3 months. Let me go and see the city." And he's like, No. They could take you and laugh at me, and it would be awful." Rather than saying, "Well, okay, you know, yes, go and see the city and experience life."
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make such a good story.
So, you know, I understand that when you originally started singing opera, you were a bass baritone.
Yes.
And now you're a full-blown baritone.
Yeah.
So what kind of voice do you think it takes to sing Rigoletto?
I think you need... it's the whole debate about the Verdi baritone voice. You need a certain colour in the middle sort of fifth. So from G below middle C to D above middle C. You need to have a certain weight in the voice and a certain... people call it... blade or edge or ping or whatever they call it. I think of it as a bit of grit. There's my favorite baritone of all time, Ettore Bastianini, was you know, probably the perfect example of a Verdi baritone, and he was described as a bronze fist in a velvet glove.
Perfect.
That's nice.
And that's what it is. It's you need to have the flexibility to sing very high notes, but also from a baritone point of view, low notes.
Right.
Because, you know, the Rigoletto range is more than two octaves.
Mm. Yeah.
So you have to, if you do all the traditional interpolated high notes, so you have to have that flexibility and facility. But also you just need to be able to ride the orchestra in a part of the voice that is lower than other baritone roles.
So it requires a heavier baritone.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily about weight. This is the big debate. Is it about the weight of sound or is it about the colour of sound? It's a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a slightly darker quality of sound than a traditional, you know, when someone thinks of a baritone singing the Barbara Seville, for example, you know, or Eugene Onegin or the Count in The Marriage of Figaro, the sort of lighter... more lyrical sound. You need a slightly weightier tone. That it tends to come with age, but also some people's voices have that sound. Some people don't. Even, you know, when Verdi was writing, he was writing for specific voices, and so, you know, the sound does exist within some people, and within some people it doesn't. It's
right.
Yes, there aren't many people who can sing Verdi baritone roles comfortably, just because they make demands that not everybody can do.
Right.
You know, I count myself very fortunate that my early training as a bass baritone had left me with the ability to access certain colours and certain resonances that people whose voices settle earlier maybe don't have the opportunity to.
And you strike me, I have no idea how old you are, but you strike me as a younger person than say, a Louis Quillico singing Rigoletto.
I think, I'm 43, so I'm not, by current standards, I'm not necessarily young by singing Rigoletto. There are baritones out there who, you know, start singing Rigoletto in their early 30s. I think it's part of the current trend for casting. Everybody wants younger, prettier people.
Younger
singers tend to be cheaper. You know, HD broadcasts have played a part, but I just think sometimes people are ready to sing the roles and sometimes they're not.
Yeah,
and I think most people, you know, with the tenors and sopranos as well, you work into the repertoire. And as you say, you gain life experience, which informs your performance.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's different. You can't really say you should be singing this when you're this age and you shouldn't be singing it when you're this age.
Mm-hmm.
We try to. I mean, in the UK, when you're learning and when you're as a student, you know, there are very rigid rules as to who's allowed to sing what when. And I think people don't listen to voices and let voices develop naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for singing and for speaking with us this morning. But also, before I wrap it up, I just want to comment that what Roland has in the middle of his voice is this unbelievable bite that carries the sound, and you can hear the anger, but you still hear a warmth in your sound, mm-hmm. which is very rare.
Well, thank you. I mean, I also think that particularly with Verdi baritone parts, it's you have to be willing as a singer to make ugly noises sometimes.
Yes.
Mm. And it is entirely about, as you say, the word character is the word. And I think if you sing it, if you come into the roles, you know, whether it's Rigoletto, Macbeth, Boccanegra, Iago, any of these great baritone parts, you've got to be prepared to be ugly at times because the drama demands it. And Verdi was such a genius at the way he set text and the way he created characters that you have to follow that in the text. I mean, I'm unbelievably fortunate to be working with Stephen Lord.
Because
the king.
Because there is no one.
Singers.
He does.
He loves the repertoire.
And there is no one better in terms of
there isn't.
From a singer's perspective.
He's 67th performer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I was lucky enough to do it with him in Detroit last year for the first time. And I'm very aware that the way I sing the role is informed by what he taught me and what
Terrific.
He showed me.
Terrific.
And I think when you have that kind of guiding hand, it becomes much easier. But you have to take everything you do has to come from a marriage of the text and music. It's not just about singing a beautiful line the whole time.
Well, Roland, I want to thank you so much for coming
in
today. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. We've been speaking with Roland Wood, baritone Roland Wood, who is singing the title role of Rigoletto. And the performances go until February 23rd at the Four Seasons Center for the Performing Arts. And for tickets, go to coc.ca or call 416-363-8231.